Let's open our Bibles to the last book of the Old Testament, the prophecy of Malachi. And our pericope of Scripture is Malachi 3 and 4. Let's begin our reading in chapter 3, verse 13, and then we'll read the entire chapter 4. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall they return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day shall come and burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Our text is verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2. And notice it begins with that word, but, contrast. What is going to happen to the wicked in verse 1 now? But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. May God add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his word this morning. Notice that Malachi chapter 4 begins with those words, behold, the day cometh. It's a day of God's visitation. It's a day of judgment that will burn hot like an oven. But it is also a day of grace, where the Son of Righteousness comes with healing in his wings. This prophecy of Malachi ends with a curse. We read, "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Malachi, the last Old Testament prophet, predicted that the Messiah would come. And then John, who's called here Elijah, the next prophet, announced his presence. Both of them preached the fear of judgment of the wicked, but the hope also of healing and salvation for those who fear God's name. Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there is the difference between life and death. Five things by way of introduction. First of all, the people are still unchanged for the whole. They have been in captivity. God has brought them back out of Babylon. And yet, the people are still unchanged. That's a major theme of the book of Malachi. Hundreds of years, God chastised his people and called for a change. He brought famine and plagues. He brought armies from the surrounding nations. But there had been no basic change. God's word comes seven times to them, and the people say, "What? How?" Profanity, sacrilege, greed, weariness in serving God, honoring of doing wrong things, robbery, blasphemy. They said, "God doesn't love us. God is not worthy of our best sacrifices. God is unjust. God doesn't deserve a full tithe. It's futile to serve God." Yes, the people were really unchanged, but there's a remnant. A second thing, God is unchanged. Malachi 3, verse 6, "I, the Lord, do not change." He is unchanged in his knowledge. He is faithful. He is unchanged in his holiness. He's unchanged in his righteousness. He's unchanged in his promises. There's going to be a day of blessing for those who fear him. So the people are unchanged. God is unchanged. Thirdly, the inevitability of judgment is unchanged. Surely the day is coming, verse 1, like a furnace, to purify and to destroy. Fourth, the law of God is unchanged. Because God is unchanged in his righteous demand, his law is unchanged from generation to generation. And our obligation is unchanged then. The standard by which we, you and I live is unchanged, even though the culture around us is changing and decaying. And fifthly, the promises of God are unchanged. 4,000 years of promises becoming clearer, more definite. And then the day comes when the young virgin gives birth to her child. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yea in Christ Jesus. So what are we to do with these promises, you and me? Believe them. Stand upon those promises. And even as the Lord Jesus has come the first time, we keep on praying, don't we? Come, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And so here, over against the judgments that are coming there in the book of Malachi, there is verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. Notice with me, the Son of Righteousness arises with healing. The symbol of the Son, first of all, he comes with righteousness and the healing in his wings. What a long, dark winter it was. For 400 years, 500 years really, after Malachi, there is no sound of God. The voice of God is silenced. But the promise, the seed of the woman who would be born and would crush the head of the serpent. Jesus Christ, who is the Shiloh. Jesus Christ, who is the Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. That sun that shines so brightly in the sky. No, not here in Michigan, and during the month of January, you hardly see the sun. But what a beautiful symbol that sun is, because God made everything in his creation in such a way that it would point to invisible spiritual truths, if only we have the eyes and the faith to see it. Out of the darkness and chaos of his creation, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Light that brings blessings. Light that brings life and heat and blessing. And on the fourth day, God then created the sun to be the light bearer, and the moon and the stars. How indispensable that sun is for our life, isn't it? The sun, which is 93 million miles from the earth. That sun that is so large that 334,000 Earths would not even fill it up. The sun that generates almost 5 million horsepower of energy in every square mile of its surface. What a powerful source of blessing to the earth. In my first church, we had a huge garden, and we had sunflowers there. And you could watch those heads of the sunflowers turning from the morning, facing the sun, following the sun in the sky, till finally it would set in the east, in the west. It's in its warmth that we bask. The earth grows, the plants grow, and thrives. The sun that was created there on that fourth day, dividing the day from the nighttime, for days and for years and for seasons. But that same sun that is a real source of blessing can also bring much devastation, can't it? Boys and girls, do you remember during the reign of King Ahab? Because of the terrible sins of the nation, we read that for 3.5 years, the sky was like brass and the earth was like iron. And so also today, as the sun shines there is that heat, that terrible heat in what's called Death Valley, where nothing can live. And scientists are pointing out, because of pollution, the increasing devastation that the sun will bring to our world. Wrath of God upon a sinful world. So that sun that rises in the morning and sets in the evening, beautiful symbol Malachi uses for our Lord Jesus Christ. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. How we need that sun. Because just as the sun arises in the morning and dispels the darkness of night, so the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness, dispels the night and the darkness of your and my sins. Oh, what sin! What apostasy of God's people in the Old Testament. It was a dark, dark night when Malachi writes and brings this prophecy. But it's not only dark in Malachi's day, but beloved, that darkness continues here in the world, doesn't it? In these closing years of human history, the ungodly increase in their wickedness, where there is no morality, when marriage is being redefined, and the law says that men can be with men and women can be with women. And in the church, how the apostasy continues, where the love of many waxes cold. And rather than gathering with God's saints on the Sabbath day, they'd rather be doing their many different activities. The night of sin. And in that midst of that sin, there is this sun of righteousness that arises. What a beautiful term this is, because as we have sung in Psalter number 71, God is our light and our salvation. What glory, what wonder fellowship we can have with him and with one another as his saints. He is our life. And the promise was that he would bring light, he would bring his own son, Christ Jesus. What light he brought to Adam and Eve in the darkness of their sin there in the garden. He finds them hiding from him. And rather than scolding them, he gives a promise. The seed of the woman that will crush the head of the serpent. All those promises for 4,000 years. And Malachi, standing there in the Old Testament, looks forward, doesn't he? But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. He's looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. those promises. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of shadow, upon them the light has shined. Or again from Isaiah, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and his glory shall be upon thee. Boys and girls, the shepherds saw that light in the dark night when they were taking care of their sheep. The angels singing and announcing the birth of Jesus Christ. And the wise men, they see a light, a star in the sky, and they follow that star which leads them to Bethlehem. Did not Jesus say, I am the light of the world? Or Zechariah said, the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Old Zechariah, his son would be the one who would announce the coming of Jesus and his kingdom. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, whose coming was promised here by the prophet Malachi. On vacation, we were able to see the sunrises. How beautiful. First, the sky would start getting kind of a red color in it. Soon, the sun would rise up. And at night, you could look at the sun going down. Red ball. How beautiful. Jesus is that sun who in his first coming, there's first of all the redness in the sky that is there were the 4,000 years of promises that the people could hold on to. There's coming a Savior, a Redeemer. And there at his birth, when the young virgin gives birth, Christ Jesus arises for our salvation. And the 33 years of his life, there he shines in all of his light, giving forth himself in his healing and his teaching, the salvation of God's people. And in your mind, can you see that sun setting? That is Jesus Christ hanging there on the cross, bleeding red blood for your and my salvation. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. The Son that brings blessing to those who fear Him, but also brings devastation, brings judgment on those who do not believe on Him. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you by faith acknowledge that he is God's Son sent into this world for your and my salvation? Or is your love growing cold for him? As the Old Testament people and church of that day, the Son of Righteousness shall rise. Malachi looking forward, 500 years later, Christ was born. And this same Lord Jesus who has come, you and I today are looking forward to his coming again in glory, when all things will be made new. What a day. What a day that will be. The Son of Righteousness arises, notice, unto you that fear my name. He is judgment for those who do not believe in him. May our sons and may our daughters, may our grandchildren, by God's grace, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Son. Notice in the second place that he is the Son of Righteousness. That is, he comes with righteousness. And righteousness is the key aspect of this whole text, isn't it? One must be right with God. What is love? It's the bond of perfectness we read in Colossians chapter 3. That is, God the perfect one can have fellowship only with those who are perfect, without sin. So what hope is there for you and I who are sinners by nature, daily walking in sin? Oh, beloved, it is not in our works. Our hope is not in our own righteousness, is it? But our righteousness has to come down from above, from God, our God. Christ Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. He was righteous in himself. He loved his Father in heaven. Every day of his life, he brought glory to his Father in heaven. As we read in Psalm 40, it is my will to do and to come and do thy will, Father. That meant leaving the glory of heaven and coming down here into the cesspool of our lives. Coming with his perfect righteousness like a white garment and walking into the filth of a barn with all that is in that barn from the cows. Righteous. It was his meat and it was his drink to do the will of his Father in heaven. And Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen my Father. In other words, Jesus Christ in his own person was exactly what our triune God is in himself, righteous, cannot endure iniquity. So how can you and I have fellowship with him who is light while we in ourselves are darkness? And that is the gospel, that the Son who arose and came into our world came with his righteousness, a righteousness that he would give to you and me. For we have no righteousness of our own. Jesus Christ set his face all of his life to go there to the cross, to take our sin, to take our guilt upon himself. Yes, beloved, our iniquity was imputed to him, put upon him, so that his righteousness could be put upon, could be imputed to you and to me. The Son of Righteousness shall arise. What a beautiful salvation is ours. What a wonderful thing that you and I as parents can teach our children and we can teach our grandchildren that we're not our own. But we belong body and soul to Christ Jesus. Why? Because our sins were all taken away from us. And Christ's righteousness is put on us. We are washed in His blood and clothed in with that white garment. Christ's righteousness given to you and to me. Given to those who fear His name. But not only is His righteousness given to us, imputed to us, but He gives us His Spirit. And by that Spirit, He's working sanctification in us. So that Odd Springsman is not the same person that he was one day ago, not one year ago, not almost 70 years ago, but all of our life. Christ, by His Spirit, is renewing us, sanctifying us, making us more and more image bearers of God. And while He gives that life and that righteousness to us, He stands there as that sun in this wicked world bringing judgment on those who refuse to call Him Savior and Lord, who do not want Him. So that we read in Malachi 1, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And that day cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." But, here's the gospel. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise," that brings me to my third point, "with healing in his wings." Wings here are pictures of the rays of the sun. Just as the sun is up in the sky and its rays bring down light and heat, warmth, blessings, so the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of Righteousness, shines down as rays upon and in his people. He causes you and I who are dead in sin to become alive. He causes you and I who are blind by nature to be able to see. He causes you and I who are by nature are deaf to hear his voice. He causes you and I who are lame in sin and able to walk in the way of his commandments. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come and is coming again. The rays of our Lord Jesus Christ upon us, with wings of healing. How we need that healing. How I need that healing. For in our life there is so much trouble, sorrow, sickness, pain, announcements in the bulletin of deaths taking place. Hurt. I think of those in our churches that have been abused by people in places of authority. How hurt they are and how they need that healing of their worth in Jesus Christ. Healing. Healing that we need for our guilty and our wounded spirits. how we need the healing, that we know that though we are sinners, those sins have been paid for. The sinful thoughts that run through my mind and even in my dreams, the sinful words or deeds washed away. And there's nothing standing now in the way any longer. There's no cloud standing between the rays of God's love and our fellowship with Him. Sunlight, joy, happiness. We delight in the healing of our wounded spirits. With that wings of healing, we read, ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. Here's another picture. So we go from the picture of that sunshine from morning to evening, always that sun shining, Christ Jesus, to some calves in the barn. On my dad's farm, the long winter when all the cows would have to stand on the stalls and their stanchions all day long, all winter long, and the calves in their pens. But then come April, then would come the sunshine and the grass would start growing and you would put the cows and the calves outside. You could see them jumping with joy, frolicking around. And God's word comes to you and me, because Jesus Christ is our righteousness. We are taken out of the bleak winter of our sins into His sunshine to jump, to rejoice, to frolic in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. May that be our Christmas. Not the trees, not the tinsel, not the things of the world, but by God's grace, we have been given to Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, and in time Christ came and He became our righteousness. He not only worked it for us, but now He works it also in us. So like those little calves or those cows leaping and jumping in the springtime as they're let out of the barn, you and I in our lives filled with joy because by God's grace we are His children, His sons and His daughters, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name. We thank Thee for these symbols in earthly creation that speak of spiritual invisible things. We thank Thee that Jesus Christ is that sun that did arise and brought life to us sinners. And we thank Thee that as this world continues to get darker and darker, our Lord Jesus is coming again in judgment on the wicked, but as the salvation and the joy of Thy people. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly.